Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story. This is a recording of Kurt and Wendy Johnson made on October 19th, 2025, located in Claremont, Florida.
This is Kurt Johnson. We're talking about our early childhood. And I'm really surprised, talking to my siblings, the difference that we all had in relationship with our parents. Personally, as a young child, my father had gotten out of the hospital with polio and wanted to be the center of attention, and my mother had me, and I was given a lot of attention as the child, so my father resented me as someone who took all of the attention away from him. All of our lives, we were a nuisance, more or less. Go outside and play. Children are seen but not heard. With the exception of the fact that my grandfather, my father, and I played cribbage together, and I was a pretty good cribbage player as a young child. That was the only connection that we made. When my parents separated and my father left and the divorce proceedings, Dad did not want custody of any of the children except my younger sister, Lynn. And my mother could not afford us, but my father wanted nothing to do with us. And we ended up living with my aunt and uncle, who was the best thing that ever happened to us in our lives.
And their names?
This was Bill Robbins and Eunice Robbins. And they had moved to a small town, southern Minnesota, and we moved down there, and they were extremely religious, and they would give you the shirt off their back in a moment's notice. They helped everyone. It was a very, very religious without being overly outwardly religious, but they changed our attitude about what makes you a better person than anybody else.
And that was in Tracy, Minnesota.
This was in Tracy, Minnesota. We lived there for 3 years. Then my mother remarried, and my stepfather agreed to get all of us children back together. I was 12 years old, and at that point in my life, the fact that all five of us could be back together, I had a stepbrother, a brother, and two sisters, has so much impression on me that I was grateful. The others didn't necessarily feel that way, but it affected me that way. But it also made me want to be a better person. My mother and stepfather and Steve, my half-brother, were one family within a family. And then Judy and Brad and Lynn and I were another family structure within the family, where Judy was the mother, I ended up being the father, and Brad and Lynn rounded us out. We would talk out our problems more than we would talk to our parents about problems. Consequently, I had to behave myself, so I didn't get into trouble. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. At that time, I never swore, and it was more important that we keep Brad and Lynn in the church and everything else. We made sure they went to Sunday school, and we were the surrogate parents without being parents. We didn't have financial obligations, but that changed how I felt about things. I had a lot of friends through the church, and we partied all the time. Nobody drank, nobody smoked, nobody swore. I was a virgin until I was 20. And so I had lots of girlfriends, but never, because I thought it was not proper to make a woman feel different. It was more my uncle who gave that impression to me.
Which uncle was that?
That was Uncle Bill Robbins. And it just carried on from there. In school, I didn't have a lot of friends in high school, but I had a lot of friends that we partied with from my church.
What church was that?
This was the Lutheran church at the end of the street on 82nd Avenue in Brooklyn Park. I was so glad that our family was together and everything else. I had considered that maybe I should become a pastor and help in for about 3 days. But that didn't end up being my chosen path. I was going to school and then I went to college, but I had to pay my own way. My parents allowed me to live at home free while I went to college. And then three of the buddies of mine got together for an apartment for the last couple of years. And I know
that... What were you studying in college?
When I first went to college, I was a math major, taking physics and chemistry and biology and so on and so forth. I also played in the marching band, the orchestra, a street marching unit in St. Paul, and a night dance band with a group of people.
What did you play?
At the same time, I was a trombone player. I went from a okay trombone player to a fantastic trombone player through the jazz group that we were with that all transposed our own music, and the band was number one. It took over everything in my life. And it was like the military in that everything was regimented, but it was music was what I did. But when I didn't do that well in school because I was involved in a lot of other things, they invited me to do something else. I went and took my physical. When I was sitting in the waiting room for my physical, 10 guys marched out. I had them count out 1, 2, 1, 2. They asked the ones to step forward. They said, "You're Marines. Follow this sergeant." The others were in the Army, and they followed.
Can we slip back for just a second? Because you had kind of an interesting role at the University of Minnesota with the band.
At the time that I went to school, this was in 1967, it was an all-male band. And the gopher was a part of the band. It wasn't really, it was the mascot at the University of Minnesota, but it was through the band. And I volunteered to be one of the gophers. And so for 1 year, I was a gopher at the University of Minnesota doing basketball games and hockey games. And that was an unusual experience because when you put the uniform on, you were the gopher. When you took the hat off, you were nobody. I'd be on a bus with a bunch of cheerleaders ignoring me totally. I'm up in the front of the bus, they're in the back of the bus. They're getting all ready for the games that we might be doing. I'd put the uniform on, I'd put the hat on. I was the gopher. They'd drag me off the bus. We'd all go together as the gopher. When it was over, I'd take the uniform off. Nobody even said hi after that. So it was interesting. I liked the university. I really enjoyed the college experience. And I paid for it myself through the jobs that I was working and things. My parents didn't have any money. And so when I went in the Army, I could have joined the Drum and Bugle Corps. I could have joined the Air Force Band. But I wanted a career. So I got into computerized radar and worked in radar, talking to airplanes, shooting planes down.
So was that air traffic control?
And that was, so it was air... ACNW, it's called Aircraft Control and Warning. We protected the West Coast for part of my job, watching anything.
Just to clarify, you weren't in the Army, you were in the Air Force.
I was in the Air Force. Yeah, after I saw these guys get marched out, I went right to the recruiter and signed up. I protected the East Coast, the Pacific Coast, in Oregon. And after 6 months, that base closed. I got sent to Montana, and we were on the early warning line in Montana, right off the Canadian border. Froze our buns off there. After 6 months, I volunteered for a tour in Germany, and I did a three-year tour in Germany in a mobile radar unit, and we drove vehicles. My driver's license was 7 pages long with all the vehicles we could drive.
And what war was going on at this time?
This was the end of Vietnam, 1968 to 72. The war was ending in 1972, and they said, if you want to stay in, we'll make you a tech sergeant. At the time, I was a staff sergeant. But the war's over. Things are going to change. If you want to get out, more power to you. And so I got out. And I loved living in Germany for 3 years. I was single. I had a sports car. On weekends, I would just drive around, go to Belgium and Luxembourg. I went to Paris a number of times. I lived off base with a German family, and just had a great time over there.
So it doesn't sound like the military was a traumatic event for you.
Other than being away from family, no, it wasn't. I loved it over there. I speak some French, and I learned German through the families I lived with, so I could speak French and German. And I wore German clothes when I was off duty. And went to a lot of the German parties and stuff like that. I had a roommate for a short period of time, and he also spoke a little German, and he and I would go to Heidelberg and party in Heidelberg. The military for me was a very good experience. I got out, the GI Bill took care of me. I did 3 more years of college as a linguistics major, studying French and German and Yiddish, and then I got a job. And I got out of the service, and my mother and father and Wendy's mother and father were on a bowling league together, and they needed substitutes, so Wendy and I subbed together. And then her sister and brother were on the league also, and their partners had to quit, so we became part of the team. And Wendy had this really smooth approach on the lane. She wasn't a great bowler, but she had a really, really smooth approach. I said, you walk good. Would you like to learn to dance? Which didn't impress her at all. But we did start dancing together, training under Mom and the studio, Dorth Marshall Dance Studio, Dance Etc. And we did that. We danced for a year, and she said, would you mind telling people I'm your girlfriend rather than your dance partner? And so after 2 years, we got engaged and got married. I got out of school because I got a job in the FAA as an air traffic controller. They said, if you can shoot them down, you can keep them apart. I did that, and that got me into the computer room. It was interesting that while I was in college and Wendy was my girlfriend, she was not jealous of any girls at all. But she was really jealous of the band, because the band was number one and everything else had to be number two. One day, I was an air traffic controller, and I was a confirmed bachelor. I would walk across the street rather than go by a jewelry store. And one day, all of a sudden, I changed my mind. I decided, you know what, I'd like to get married. And I was working at a jewelry store part-time, and I bought a stone, and then I knew that the people who did the settings and everything else, they set me up with a really nice ring. I put it on lay-by. I mean, I paid for it in installments, and asked Wendy to marry me, and she said yes.
That's
and we ended up getting married, bought a house.
Where did you get married?
And we got married at the dance studio in Brooklyn Park.
Minnesota.
In Minnesota. The band was the house band. They didn't charge us.
What date did we get married?
We got married on October 3rd, 1976.
There we go.
And we got married at the studio. It was catered there. We did everything until midnight. It got over. It started raining. It started snowing. We went to Disney World as our honeymoon, and when we got back, there was 3 inches of snow in our car. And so we had two kids then, two boys, Jeff and Nick.
Tell me about your children.
Jeff was born in 1977. Nick was born in 1979. Loved our kids, just loved being a dad. And they were learning to play soccer at age 3. I played soccer in Germany in the military team. And so we got out, and as the coaching was not very good, I became a certified coach. And the refereeing was terrible, so I became a certified ref, and we did soccer until they were 17. The boys were both very intelligent and very, very different. Jeff and I would walk around and talk at night. Nick would rather follow around, like tracking us in the background. And he didn't really talk about what he felt like or anything like that, where Jeff was very more open. And of course, Wendy was the greatest mom in the world. And she had taken off to take care of the kids. And we had a little house that they went to school across the field behind us. And we lived there for 10 years in Apple Valley. 7 years? 7 years in Apple Valley. Then we moved to
Blaine.
I was in the Air Traffic Control Center and decided that controlling was not what I wanted to do. I got into the computer room, got into computers. They sent me to training in Oklahoma City to become a computer programmer. And I got out of the FAA and into a company. And we moved 51 miles away. The company would pay for our move if we moved 50 miles or more. And so we had a couple of houses in Blaine as the kids were raised there. I'm rather oblivious to the world, not realizing that Jeff was getting into trouble and sneaking alcohol and things. Where Nick, who had long black hair, dressed in black, was a rollerblader on Team Rollerblade, and he was the good kid. He got into kickboxing. Both of them had done some karate, and so they weren't being picked on or anything. You'd have to ask them what growing up was like, but today they're my greatest accomplishment. We're very, very proud of both boys.
So why don't you hand it to Wendy a minute? Let's hear a little bit about. Did you stop it?
No.
Okay. Hear a little bit about Wendy, kind of where you grew up. Hear a little bit about your family and a little bit about your profession before you met Kurt.
All right, so this is Wendy Johnson. I was a Larson. I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I was born May 19th, 1953. And I was always real shy as a child. When I was 15, I had just become a freshman in high school. So that was a big jump from junior high to high school. But I had so many friends. There was like 12 of us that would gather in front of the lockers every morning, and it was just fun. I was really enjoying high school, and then I got ill. At the time, Crohn's disease hadn't been invented yet. They didn't know what I had. I just was always doubled over in pain with my stomach. And I missed a lot of school, was in and out of school, lost a lot of friends, because if you're not healthy and part of the gang, you find out who your real friends are. Just a very few stuck with me during this 2.5, almost 3-year ordeal. But I did go in and have some surgery, and this would be in 1969, where they, at first I went in and they had a bypass. They basically clamped off the infected part of my intestine and clamped on both ends and made rerouted the intestine to go around that area, but that didn't work, and so there was another year of pain and misery and losing friends and missing more school than I was in school half the time. And and you have to realize I was an A student, and so it was hard because my grades were starting to suffer a little bit, and that was demoralizing to me, who always believed in education. Anyway, they finally then went back in the next year, so January of 1970, and this time they removed 18 inches of small intestine, 6 inches of large intestine, and that did the trick to kind of get me on to a bed of health a little bit. They called it regional ileitis and regional enteritis back in the day, and then eventually it got renamed as Crohn's disease, which people are familiar with now. Now there's tons of drugs available to help people with this situation. It was very different back then. But they did put me on sulfasalazine, which I stayed, I'm on that same drug now, 65 years later, and it's always worked enough to keep it compromised. I mean, that's an autoimmune disease, and it's something that doesn't go away, so you learn to live with it. But I finally started getting healthy back in 12th grade, and so that was good. I was able to end my high school years and graduate with my class and everything. I did have to go to the counselors and figure out a change in my grades, because I had to drop out of biology, and you have to have at least one science or a math, and so I was going to take a just basically, they call it 12th grade math or something. It's basically a review, I think, of addition, subtraction, fractions, all the easy stuff for people that, you know, have difficulty learning math. But I thought, well, that's the only thing that's really available to me. I can't take all these higher end science classes, because you had to have biology to take the rest of them. Anyway, the counselor says, "Oh no, you're too smart for that class." So they just let me graduate without a science, which was kind of cool. I was in the top 2% of my graduating class of 500 and some people, so that always made me feel good. From then, I went directly to work. Nobody in my family had ever attended college before, and so I knew my parents had spent so much money on me when all these years that I was sick, and I just could not. I felt guilty for taking more money to have them pay for college when I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was artistic back then, and I used to like to paint, but I was smart enough to realize you can't really get a degree in art and have it, you know, really have a job much in that, unless it's commercial art, in which case I said, I want art to be a pastime, something that I want to come back to, not something I have to do on a deadline. So anyway, I just went to work. worked at the Grain Exchange downtown Minneapolis, and I worked there for several years. Started in the mailroom, moved out into the main office later, and had my first boyfriend there, and then I met Kurt. How did I meet Kurt? Oh yeah, we were bowling. My parents had just told me to get on there on the substitution list for their bowling league, because she says, "Well, you may as well, you know, once in a while come bowling." I said, "I'm not any good at bowling." She said, "That's right, it's just fun." And so I got called in to bowl as people got sick here and there throughout the year. And eventually Terry and Dick's team quit mid-year. Well, first just the girl quit, and so they put me on that team with this girl's husband. And that lasted 2 weeks, and that girl apparently didn't want her husband bowling with another girl. And so that she made him quit, and that's when they put Kurt on that team. And Kurt comes up with, after like bowling maybe 2 weeks, he made his comment, "You walk good, you want to learn to dance," because he was learning how to dance at the time. But anyway, so he made me a bet. He says, if you get a strike, I'll take you out for dinner and dancing. I'm like, "Woo!" But I'm not a good bowler. And so of course I got like two pins down. And so then he says, "Well, if you pick up that spare, I'll take you out for dancing." And I missed that too, but he took me out anyway. So that was cool. And so we dated for 2.5 years before we ended up getting married. And that was great. We both learned to dance. I was dancing with him for a good year or more when they started asking me if I wanted to teach. And I said, "Whoa, I don't know the band's part. I was only learning to follow. I hadn't really paid much attention." And so then I went back in and relearned everything as a teacher would relearn it. So I learned the man's part. I learned the lady's part. And then I took a few classes on my own without, you know, as the lead teacher. But I was so nervous. Back then, I was still pretty shy. You know, after your high school years is when you gain your independence and your personality, I believe. And because I had missed so much school and everything during those high school years, I was extremely shy. And so I was fine if they would put me in the practice rooms to teach a class. Where I could shut the door and nobody's watching me. But boy, if they put me in the ballroom where it had glass doors and people could watch from the lobby, I got all tongue-tied and stumbled over my words, and it was like just ridiculous. Eventually, I overcame that, but it took a little while. But anyway, Kurt and I got married in 1976, October 3rd, at the dance studio, and we had a lovely wedding. Had our honeymoon in Disney World in Florida, and loved all that. Came back, we bought our first home. We were in an apartment for a while, which was supposed to be adults only, no children, no pets. Well, we had picked up a pet. By that time, we had a cat. Cat went into heat. We didn't understand that. She went into heat when we were both at work and did the meow, you know, real loud all the time. So we got found out, and we got a notice saying you have 2 weeks to either get rid of the cat or you guys have to leave. And so we had to find a new home for our cat while we started looking for a house to buy. And so a couple of my friends from work took care of the cat for us for a couple months. And I was at that time working at PIC Travel in Minneapolis area. And it was like a business incentive travel company, so I would arrange all of the different perks that if businesses wanted to give their employees a trip as a benefit or a bonus that they have something to earn, then I was the one that would figure out all the benefits that would go in. So I would be responsible for knowing what the food would be on the plane and where the hotel would be, where they would stay, and all the days and all that kind of stuff. So I was that arranger. And then I would substitute as the secretary when the secretary wasn't there, so I could type. But boy, did I not like typing all day and all night. I wanted to be a tour director, but I wasn't. I didn't have enough. And I actually went on an interview to become a tour guide. But again, they were smart not to hire me because I wasn't sure enough of myself back then. I was kind of a late bloomer in life. And so I ended up working, and once we started having children, I worked at Kinderphoto as a photographer. And that was a great job because I had a 1 and a 3-year-old at the time, so I knew how to respond to children, and I could get them to smile, and I really, truly enjoyed that job a lot, but the pay was very, very low. I mean, like $3.35 an hour or whatever, and by the time I paid for childcare, was hardly worth it, but I did it because it was good for me to get out in the house and not only be around little children all day. And but I always, through all my various jobs that I've had, I always felt a bit guilty knowing that I'm an intelligent person and wondering if I'm wasting my life by not having a career, only having jobs. And that was something that plagued me a lot. But on the other hand, I grew up with an at-home mom, and I wanted to be an at-home mom for my children. And now that my children are grown and in their 40s, both of them told me that I was the best mom ever. And so that gives me some gratification that, okay, I did what I had really truly, that was the one thing I wanted to do. I could never land on a career that I really wanted anyway. So I always just enjoyed part-time jobs that were fun. And when we got to a point where Kurt was offered a job in Birmingham, Alabama, and the boys were now by, like, Nick was in his senior year of high school, Jeff was already graduated, he was already in his first year of college. I was ready for a change because I was feeling kind of useless. Kurt was off reffing or playing, either reffing soccer or coaching soccer or playing soccer just about every night of the week. And then he was teaching a couple nights a week, and I was working at the portrait studio. But it just, it wasn't a real, I just didn't feel needed. And so when he got the job offer, opportunity to move to Birmingham, Alabama, for a job that was right up his alley, and he asked me, well, what would you think about moving to Alabama? And I'm like, who moves to Alabama? And I didn't know anything about Alabama, but I needed a change. So I said, let's do it. And so Nick found a family to live with to finish out his senior year because he refused to move. And I don't blame him. He had a ton of friends, and he was in a rock band at the time. And so I said, well, you either are coming with us or we got to find you a place to live. So he found a nice place to live. They gave him his the whole basement, and he agreed to help the mom out with shoveling driveways and everything like that. We took the two dogs, moved to Birmingham, and although it was hard right at first, it ended up being kind of the best part of our married life. We lived there 21 years, and that's when I came into myself as a real person, and I got more assertive. I was willing to do things more, and I grew into myself, basically, in my 40s. And so now that I'm 76, or however the heck old I am, I'm 72. Now that I'm 72, Kurt's 77. We now live in Claremont, Florida, in a 55-plus active adult community, and we absolutely love it here. Lots and lots of activities. And yeah, we're becoming well-known, and that's kind of a cool thing. And Kurt is reaching for the mic, so I'm handing it back to him. We've had a really good life. We're very happy.
What I didn't mention was that from college all the way through to today, we were ballroom dance instructors. I would teach dancing, then I'd go to work and get some sleep. I'd go teach some more classes, go back to work and teach. And so through 50 years, we've been teaching together. It's been a very important part of our life. When we moved to Birmingham, we were pretty good dancers. We were young and agile. And one of the ladies in the band saw our teaching technique and our dancing and asked if we would teach a homeschool class. So we started a homeschool dance class. We taught that for probably 10 years, maybe even more. Ended up having as much as 250 kids in our programs. We had two different group programs going in Birmingham and in Pelham. Of all those kids, they learned how to dance. They learned etiquette. They learned a lot of things we didn't know we were teaching them. From that class, we had 10 kids get married, and umpteen kids that they've got families now with 3-4 kids each. We went back for a wedding after we'd moved to Birmingham, to Orlando, and we went back. The bride and group were our students, all the ladies of the bridesmaids were students of ours. All of the groomsmen were students of ours. 3/4 of the parents in the audience were students of ours. Four kids come up to Wendy and holding a little baby, showing her one of the mothers came up and said, "You're responsible for this." That was one of the highlights of our dancing in Birmingham. We were independent teachers. We didn't have a studio. We taught at different studios and started a way of teaching where we didn't charge very much and we just taught people how to do social dance. We had a most successful dance program going. It kept us, it was really our second job all the time. And then COVID came, dancing stopped, the travel business stopped. So we decided to move, with whatever kid had a child first, we'd move there. Well, both our kids are in the 40s and neither one has children. We said, we're going to go to Florida. So we moved down here to Florida and are as happy as can be. Of all the siblings, I think I have the best spouse. Whether it's her side of the family, our side of the family, I like Wendy more than it seems like other people like their spouses. Although Lynn and John are pretty happy together, too. And that's the story of our life.
Thank you.